America fans, the biggest rivalry in Mexican soccer is coming to State Farm Stadium. Enter for a chance to win two tickets to watch Club America battle Chivas de Guadalajara on Saturday, October 11th. For tickets and more information, visit SeatGeek.com. You don't want to miss El Clásico de México. All you have to do is, on September 12th, head over to our Twitter/X account at EY Podcast. Follow us, like, and retweet to enter this giveaway. We'll be announcing the winner on September 23rd. Best of luck to everyone.
Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down that horrific 2-1 defeat in the Clásico Nacional. Embarrassing, just absolute total embarrassment from Las Águilas and América at home against Chivas. And then, of course, we'll break down a preview for the upcoming game against Monterrey, which is going to be, I would assume, an even tougher matchup, this time on the road away at the Estadio BBVA. So it's going to be quite a therapeutical podcast, if I do say so myself. And joining me today to discuss all things Club America, it is none other than everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how you doing after this weekend, man?
Man, it's been a week for me, and I think it all went downhill after that loss. So, but here we are. We're just getting through it now.
It's okay. Well, at least your Cowboys gave you something to smile about.
Yes, they did. They did. After, I just still think that was a stupid game, but both, I think the Cowboys game was stupider than this America game was stupid. So
yeah,
here we are.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's just dive right into this matchup. But before we get into the Clásico Nacional, let's talk about a different Clásico Nacional that is coming up. Don't forget, guys, we are still doing our ticket giveaway to the upcoming Clásico Nacional in Phoenix at State Farm Stadium. So if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys head over to our Twitter/X account. I'll leave a link in the description for you guys to go and join the giveaway if you guys haven't done so already. All you got to do basically is just follow us, like, and repost the tweet, and then you guys will be good to go. We'll be announcing the winner this Tuesday on September 23rd. Thank you to everyone already who's been participating. We can't wait to announce the winner. This has been phenomenal, and we hope that, you know, this is something that we're going to continuously be able to do in the future. So again, if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys go and sign up and for the giveaway. Hopefully one of you lucky winners listening to this is one of you guys listening to this is the lucky winner. So again, just wanted to remind you guys about that giveaway. But okay, Dylan, let's talk about this fiasco that was America versus Chivas on Saturday. It all painted, at least on paper, for us to be just steamrolling past them, right? This is a Chivas side that was coming in just an absolute rut of a form. They were, what, I think, 14th place in the league. Just, I think they were on 4 points, you know? And it blew my mind, the lack of urgency, the lack of, I don't know. It just felt like the players didn't feel like they were playing a Clásico. They felt like they were playing a pickup scrimmage match in training. And no one really actually gave it like 120% like you usually see in these Clásicos. Granted, we started off pretty decently, right? I feel like our first touch and our final pass in the final third just absolutely wasn't there. But we had bright spark moments, but it just felt like America came in very complacent and like they came in very overconfident, or maybe not even overconfident. They just came in very laxed and ultimately gave Chivas life.
Yeah. I kind of was curious too what Jardine was thinking going into this game, because I mean, you look at the lineup, I mean, five defenders. I mean, I kind of dare to say, you know, was he nervous? Was he scared going into this game? Because I didn't think we'd come out with five defenders. I mean, talk about Espinosa, Cáceres, Igor, Reyes, and Borja. I was just like, to me, it didn't make sense. I mean, I guess you kind of look at what he has. You know, I don't know what he was thinking. It didn't make sense to me. And then again, you know, you get through the first half, you know, with, you know, nothing really, in my opinion, feasible to take in a half and think, okay, like, let's look at kind of these positives. It just felt like a weird first half, and it just kind of felt like it was bound for doom or something like that.
I agree with you in the sense that I don't think we needed to play that back three, back five formation, whatever you want to look at it, because I understand why we did it against Tigres, right? With their attacking power, you think, okay, you need numbers back there. I understand why you did it against Atlas. You're on the road. They tend to be a very chippy team. They tend to play with sometimes two strikers. I understand you need to have that overload. With Chivas, a team that wasn't even playing with a natural striker, you don't need that overkill. You absolutely don't. You would have been fine with just Cáceres and Igor there. And I know there's a lot of hot takes as to Igor Lichnowsky's card in this game, and I 100% agree that he shouldn't be a starter over Ramón Juárez, and we can get to that a little bit later. But you're right. I do think that the three-back formation felt a little bit overkill for a side that wasn't really necessarily going to threaten you like that, right?
Yeah,
I do know that eventually he did end up switching Israel Reyes into the midfield, and it went back to a back four. But I think off the get-go, straight away, you should have started with that back four formation. You should have had an idea how you were going to approach this game and not be so, I don't know, just so lax. And it's something that we spoke about last week on the podcast with our guest. You know, one of the main questions that I proposed for this preview was, how does André Jardine manage the locker room, manage these players so that they don't come into this game overconfident, or they feel like, you know, that they're, you know, they've already won the game before stepping onto that pitch, just because of the reality is that, you know, our opponent was nowhere near to the level that we were playing at. But it just, I don't know, it just felt very unfortunate. And I think one thing that, I don't know who brought it up in our group chat, whether it was Christian or Chris, but basically they said, you know, it's unfortunate that we had to play this game after the international break. It felt like the international break halted a little bit of the progress that we had made all August.
No, yeah, 100%. I feel the same way, too. I also feel, you know, obviously, I think this is no disagreement between us, Evan. A lot of this kind of needs to fall harder than that, because, you know, how do you as a coach not keep your players to that standard that you're playing at, you know, weeks before, especially, you know, in a game going the moment everyone to the played against Tigres. I mean, for me, you know, I think I was at that point, you know, cautiously optimistic, and then, you know, maybe I went in, you know, just the right amount of optimistic into this game. Like, okay, like, you know, I don't think I was necessarily on the we're gonna steamroll, but, you know, I was like, we're gonna get a comfortable win against Chivas, you know, we're gonna show why, you know, we are the best. And then, you know, you just fall flat in a Clásico that, you know, really kind of is like, has lost some level of Clásicos, I feel like, too. But now it just feels like, you know, since we lost, it's kind of like, damn, like, you know, back up to that level of what this Clásico actually really means. And so just obviously, like, embarrassing, you know, it's just something that I think, you know, Harden needs to kind of ask himself too, is like, is what did I go wrong in keeping this team where it was, you know, prior to the international break and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. There's a lot of fingers to be pointed, and I think in all direction, everyone on that pitch deserves to kind of, you know, put their heads down and kind of reset themselves, also included. Obviously, we saw a little bit of a dip against DC United, but you're thinking that's just a friendly. It doesn't really kind of matter. You're trying to get minutes to some players. I think obviously the biggest catalyst for America not doing so well is, unfortunately, the injury to Álvaro Fidalgo. You know, that definitely is a setback. But this is the thing, and we've argued about this for, I don't know, as long as I remember on the podcast, you can't solely base your whole team, your whole game on just one player. You can't rely on one player to do it all. And even if in his absence, you need to have a way around, you need to have solutions. And it's just unfortunate that when Fidalgo goes, it's like everyone just shies away. No one is willing to step up and take the moment, you know? No one's willing to take the opportunity to really put the team on their shoulders and carry us through, right? We thought Alan Maximan was going to be the guy. And I get it. He didn't have his best performance. And maybe we were all just a little bit too quickly to give him his start. Maybe we should have kept him on the bench. Maybe he would have been a great impact sub. And maybe this game would have looked a little bit different. But he just was lights out. Absolutely just was nowhere near the player that we thought he was going to be for this game. Unfortunately, Brian Rodriguez comes into this game and is put on the right-hand side, so then he automatically just kind of gets ghosted. Sendejas, again, aside from the goal that he scored late into the game, I don't understand what he's doing. He's had a dip in form, and I thought he was going to come into this game just steamrolling past everybody because of his goal on the international break. I thought that was going to give him a lot of confidence. And yeah, Buffalo Gator as well, but it was just these players that felt like they were just dragging their legs, that they were just dragging along these 90 minutes or whatever minutes that they ended up playing. But it just felt very frustrating to see that we didn't have an answer for our team going forward whenever Alvaro Fidalgo stepped off the pitch. And you just thought, okay, someone's got to do something. And unfortunately, no one did anything.
Yeah, and it almost feels like it kind of goes back to the board because it's just like you said, nobody stepped up. And obviously, Fidalgo's presence loomed large whenever he was out. And it was so obvious. And so it just kind of goes back to show again. And it's funny because AJ would always talk about we're getting another midfielder. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you would think with all these midfielders that we got, like somebody would, but it's just like you never found the right one who would step in and be, I guess in a sense, like Fidalgo's replacement or like Fidalgo's like understudy.
Yeah. And look, we're not asking for a like for like, right? I'm not asking for same quality level of Fidalgo. That's just kind of a waste of a player to be on the bench. But you want someone that can have an impact, right? And unfortunately, we don't have that, right? Alexis Gutierrez doesn't look like he's going to be that player. Jonathan Dos Santos' legs, I think, are completely gone. I think he needs to, unfortunately, call it a wrap after the end of the season.
Honestly, forgot about him, too.
Yeah, but he came in and he gave away possession real cheaply. It was a very poor performance by him too. And obviously, this is someone that we praise very highly for his involvement in the Bicampeonato, a little bit in the Tricampeonato as well. But it feels like there is no answer. And again, it falls back on, like you mentioned, the board, but also falls on your manager. You should already have, 8 weeks into the league, and absolutely an idea of how you're going to play with or without your main man. Right? You get it. Fidalgo was super important. And no one's going to deny that. But there needs to be a way to play with and without him and still be able to get a victory. And it just felt frustrating because you just felt like America just had nothing going forward. And even when we did go forward, you just felt like, I don't think this might be it, honestly. You know?
Yeah. And yeah, I think back to the first half, I felt like it was a pretty decent start. It was a good start. But then it just felt like it kind of tapered off to going into halftime. Like there was just nothing there.
Yeah. I agree. There was just absolutely nothing there at all. And the second half wasn't any better. Obviously, no. We gave Chivas life. And, credit to them. They played their game. It's not like they walked all over us. We basically just kind of folded and, gave them two opportunities. They put them into the back of the net. Kudos to them. They did their job. And that's the frustrating thing about it. It's America feels like it's so easy to play against us. It's ridiculous. Toluca's done it consistently against us. Lower sides have made life difficult for us just the same way. And all you have to do is play a low block, right? Sit back, defend, stay as tight, have all 11 players on your own side and frustrate America. And then eventually get them on either a corner or just one of those random plays. And that is the frustrating side about it is why, if we've been playing against teams like this for almost a year now that they've understood how to kind of neutralize our attack, if they're not going to go and play a like for like, why do we still not have an answer? I get it. Alante Maximum was supposed to be that answer on that left-hand side, and he had brilliant 20 minutes, and that's it. But after that, someone else needs to kind of carry the torch. Someone else has to be a little bit of a spark. Chiquito Sanchez had a very poor game, and I thought he was someone that needed to kind of step up. I mentioned again, Alejandro Sendejas, another player that I thought was going to be, doing his thing and just absolutely, he didn't even try and take on players, which was the crazy thing about Sendejas. Usually the type of player that likes to go on a 1v1. But I don't know, it's frustrating that we don't have answers yet to such a very simple problem that I would assume we would have an answer by now. And again, it falls on the managerial side of things. And look, it's not us trying to call for heads right now. Absolutely not. But it's just us wanting to see progression in those departments where, okay, when you're playing a team like that that's going to play a low block and is going to play organized, how are you then going to combat that? And it's not going to be by obviously stringing around 2, 3, 4 passes and then having to reset all the way back to your defender. You need to have something. You need to thread the needle somehow. And I don't know why, Dylan, but it, unless Fidalgo's on that pitch, we don't have an answer.
Yeah, no, we don't. It's frustrating because it just feels like, again, like we mentioned the international break, you know, stalling, you know, the great form that we have. And man, when you look back, especially I'm looking back at some of the results, I mean, we went four in a row in league play winning, and yeah, against Querétaro, against Tigres, against Atlas, and then against Pachuca. Four in a row. And going into this game undefeated against, you know, one of your rivals, and then you just decide to lay flat and take 20 steps back instead of taking a step forward.
Yeah. And you know what? I think this is just obviously blown up into a bigger proportion because it is Chivas, right? And this is, by standards, the biggest game of the regular season. It's not our biggest game of the season because obviously we know that our biggest game needs to be the final. But it's frustrating because you don't want to lose these games. You don't want to lose against your rivals, especially your most bitter hated rival, which is Chivas, right? We've had such a good track record. If we were to have won last Saturday's matchup, Dylan, we would have had officially reached 1,000 victories against Chivas. That's huge. That's a huge landmark. You can hold that against them, you know? Like, it's ridiculous. Will we get there? Of course, I have no doubt, but it's unfortunate that we have to delay that because of these setbacks that these players just decided that they were going to have an off day after having. I get it, the international break isn't so easy at times. These players have to travel extensive amount of miles, but you have to understand you're coming into a Clásico, you know?
Yeah. And that's what makes me wonder too is, you know, how many of these players, you know, feel the colors like you always thought and kind of talk about, Ivan.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, looking at this game, you know, I mean, it kind of makes me wonder, you know, did any of these players, I guess, like, you know, have this game kind of circled, you know, and realize like, hey, like, you know, this is a great, great rival, you know, we need to go out and win this game. And it didn't feel like many players did not have this on their calendar circled.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if it's a complacent thing. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I think there's a lot of players that need to kind of have that self-reflection, look at themselves in the mirror and kind of, again, something that I've alluded to throughout this whole season is, am I still good enough to play for this team? Am I still good enough to, you know, wear this jersey? And if I am, then I have to go out there and demonstrate it. And if I'm not, then of course there's the door. But yeah, it's a good thing that you also bring this up, right? Feeling the passion, feeling the colors. Obviously, one of the biggest talking points coming out of this game is the fact that Ramon Juarez again gets benched to Igor Lichnowsky, which, you know, had himself a good goal against Pachuca, looked very sprite, and, you know, kind of rinse and repeat formation for the Clásico Nacional. A lot of people didn't like it, but they kind of were kind of rolling with it. And eventually at the end, everyone was calling for Igor's head and basically saying that Ramon Juarez needs to start. I am kind of in favor with that. I'm always going to pick Ramon Juarez over anyone. I do think he still has limitations, but when it comes to these type of games, when it comes to Clásicos, I don't think you see a better defender out there on the pitch than Ramon Juarez. The man, you know, lives, breathes, and bleeds Club America. And it's unfortunate that he gets to see the bench yet again, which I think he's had one of his best seasons with us. And I don't know, what do you think the situation here is between Ramon Juarez and Igor Lichnowsky?
I think whenever I look at it, I think Harina has to take into consideration the situation. Because, again, I agree with you on the part, you know, like, you know, Ramon has his limitations. I mean, I think how to at least look at that and be like, you know, okay, are we gonna lose it in the set pieces? Are we gonna lose in the corners? You know, maybe Igor is the best option for this at this point in the match. And then, depending on where we are, then, you know, I could put Ramon in it if, you know, we need to score, but also need to defend, you know, a lead in a bit, you know, trying to find that balance. But I think this was a game that Ramon should definitely have started. This is one of those games where, you know, he could have gone out there and even proven himself even more to even having that great season that he's been having so far. I think, you know, after this game too, it kind of shows even more why he needs to be the one starting in front of Igor, because Igor's just kind of, to me, hit or miss. You know, I feel like he needs to be in those situations where, like, okay, do we need, you know, somebody in the air? Because I feel like that's where Ramon kind of, and in some ways, you know, lacks. I wouldn't say a lot of times, because he has stepped up a lot, you know, when it comes to some aerial attacks. But I think that's whenever it kind of gets situational in a sense.
Yeah, and look, I would even go as far as to argue that I think your best center back partnership for this game, if you wanted to be cautious, would have been Ramon Juarez and Igor Lichnowsky rather than Sebastián Cáceres, right? I mean, Cáceres gets injured towards this matchup, right? And then that's when he starts making kind of some ludicrous substitutions. But I think, you know, Ramon Juarez is hands down our best defender. I know that's crazy to say, especially with the Sebastián Cáceres that has grown phenomenally. But I do think that in this game, he feels the passion. He feels it more. And I think you could have had an Igor Lichnowsky who could have been there to... And I don't think Igor Lichnowsky had the worst of games. I just think he got outdone in that second goal. And obviously people are going to, you know, look for a scapegoat in that sense. But I think if you switch the roles and you have Igor Lichnowsky and Ramon Juarez, I think Ramon Juarez is the one covering... I forget the Chivas player name, but I know it's Hormiga. You know, it's covering that attack, and Igor Lichnowsky is kind of tracking back. And I do think we see a much better result there. But I do think it's frustrating because obviously Jardine had 100% trust in Ramon Juarez whenever he was with him at Atlético San Luis, brought him back to America, and it looks like, you know, he's giving him his moments here and there. It just feels like, you know, because of the hierarchy thing, because of, you know, stuff behind the scenes maybe, but we don't see Ramon Juarez as much as we want to. I get it, he had his struggles and his limitations against Atlas, and that probably was one of the reasons why he saw the bench against Pachuca, but I still think that we need to have faith in our youngster, who's only 23 years old, that he still has a good chunk amount of time to grow and become this leader that we know he can be. But yeah, I guess it's just one of those things that we'll just never know, right? If, buts, or maybes. But I think at the end of the day, we all would have felt a little bit better with Ramon.
I was trying to think back too. I was like, I know Ramon has scored a header somewhere so far this season with us. And now I've looked back and it was against Portland whenever it was Leagues Cup.
Yes.
That was a good game. That was a very good game for him, I think.
Really good game. I think that's what kind of catapulted him to, again, return back to the starting 11. And I don't think he should have been dropped against the Atlas game. And we spoke about it, me and Chris, after that matchup. And on the podcast, we said, you know, obviously he has his limitations, but we don't think that he merited to being dropped. But again, they don't pay us for this, right, Dylan?
They pay harder than him. He has more trophies than us, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, we trust in him, and I think he will do the right thing. I do think we'll see a Ramon Juarez against Monterrey. I think you just have to at this point. And we'll get into that a little bit later down the road. But, that was América versus Chivas 2-1. Obviously, there was that late goal from Alejandro Sendejas. Oddly enough, we were almost close to tying up the game if Brian Rodriguez decided to actually, for once, do everything on his own. But the one time he didn't need to pass, he passed the ball for some reason. But in this hypothetical situation, if América ends up walking away with a draw, how much of a different tone or how much of more of a different conversation do you think we're having?
I don't really think we're having that much of a different conversation because I think, obviously, you go out to obviously win the game, but you definitely go out to win Clásicos. I mean, especially you have to come back down, you know, 2-0. You know, I think we'll probably talk a little bit different about how this team fought to at least scrape by with the points, but I think it's not that much different. You know, I think you still wonder, you know, where everything went wrong, you know, between what was it, Pachuca, into this game. Obviously, like I mentioned, you know, the international break, you know, probably stalled some things, which, you know, I can agree to that. You know, I can sit there and say that too. But I think you still ask those questions. You know, you still question this lineup. I think you still question, like we kind of mentioned, Ivan, you know, the five defenders, you know, the five in the back or three in the back, however you want to look at it, really. I think there's still a lot of questions, you know. Regardless, I think, you know, with the tie, you still take steps back. You know, I don't think it's as many as it is with the loss, but I think you still take some steps back with the tie that you have to fight back for in the end.
Yeah, I agree that this conversation is probably not as different as maybe people would have thought if we did end up getting a tie. Obviously, there's a more of a silver lining. If we do get that draw, we still stay undefeated. I think we would still be in third place, though, regardless whether we had tied or like we lost. I think we still would have been in third place. But I think, you know, this is obviously hopefully a turning point for the team in general to realize that, hey, there is no such thing as an easy game for the rest of the season. We need to kind of step up. And there's two international windows left before the end of the season. So you guys need to find an answer onto how you're going to combat this kind of slump coming into league again after those international breaks, because, you know, it's important. So we'll see. Obviously, we'll see what happens. But yeah, América loses 2-1. Like we mentioned, unfortunately, we lose the undefeated streak, but on hindsight, it is the first loss, Dylan. Well, you're muted.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like you lost, you know, it's a classical loss. So, I mean,
that's things worse.
This thing's even worse. Yeah, I feel like, you know, I don't want to lose, but I feel like if it was somebody else not named Chivas, Cruz Azul, or Pumas, you know, it wouldn't be as bad. But man, this one sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Ruined 100% my whole night. Ruined a little bit of my weekend. Fortunately for me, I had my bills to spank Christian's Jets to kind of make me feel just a little bit better. But yeah, it's and it was a bad weekend for Americanistas just in general. I mean, America Femenina ended up losing their game also. So it's just, it wasn't our week. And look, I get it. These things happen, right? We can't always be perfect. There was always going to be that blurb, that one weekend. But the important thing is, how do we pick ourselves up from this and make sure that this doesn't happen again and we continue to have that kind of dominance over them for a long stretch again? So we'll see what happens. But yeah, America loses 2-1 to Chivas. Let's move on from that and let's talk a little bit of updates about what's going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. So, Americanistas, today's episode is brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar, the official home of Club America in the United States. Every game this season will be streamed at Tom's Watch Bar. That's right, all the games, all the time, meaning you always have a place to catch our Águilas in action. So, head over to your local Tom's Watch Bar to experience an America game like never before. Visit tomswatchbar.com/events for more information. Thank you to Tom's for sponsoring today's episode. Hey, Americanistas, Ivan here, and I wanted to invite you guys to sign up to our weekly newsletter if you guys haven't done so already. Make sure you guys head over to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter, and that way you guys can sign up and subscribe, and you guys are up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. We give you guys a full weekly recap every Friday of the ins and outs of Coapa. And of course, we keep you guys up to date with what's going on in our world as well regarding the podcast. So if that is something you guys are interested in and that's something you guys want to do, make sure you guys head over again to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter, to keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. Obviously, right now, the biggest thing is the injury situation going on. Obviously, Fidalgo left the matchup. Cáceres left also too with a bit of a knock. Henry Martin looks like he's picked up another injury in practice. So we got three players that potentially will not be available. I think actually two, because Sebastián Cáceres was cleared. He's training back with the first team. Álvaro Fidalgo looks like he might be on the bench. It looks like if all things go well within these following days before they travel to Monterrey, he could potentially be on the bench. I don't see him starting, although I guess crazier things have happened. And unfortunately, this is something I think we need to talk about, Dylan. Henry Martin out again with another injury, 2 to 4 weeks now. It's something that continues to linger on with him and his continuous injuries ever since, dare to say, you know, the start, even last season throughout the tournament. What do you think is going on? What's going on with Henry, man?
I don't know. I mean, y'all heard me say it to you time and time again, you know, in our group chats, but man, it's time to move on. Like, I hate to say it, I really do, but I mean, it's just, I think it's time to move on from Henry. But it also kind of sucks because I think right now, I mean, is Henry really the only nine that we can rely on that we have in this team? I mean, I don't feel like we even really rely on him with how injured he's been. I mean, he barely gets 20 minutes, and it's just like, you know, he can't go again next week for some reason. But I remember Chris saying something, you know, about him just go ahead and doing the surgery. I forgot what that was about. But yeah, it's just I think it's time. It's just Henry's not serviceable as he was in the past.
Yeah, you know, these lingering injuries too, I think with his foot is I think what Chris was alluding to. I think, yeah, if he does take the surgery, obviously he's going to be out for the majority. Actually, he'd be out for the rest of the season and probably majority of next season as well. And that's, you know, a whole year without your star number nine. That's pretty big, pretty huge. I think it's unfortunate, like you said, we need to start looking at a future without Henry. Yeah. And not to say that, look, we need him to be sold and he needs to be out of here. But the truth is we need to bring in a starter number nine that's going to be, you know, as clinical as Henry has been for the past couple of years for América. And look, Aguirre hasn't been doing it. Right, he has sparks, but that's it. I think he's committed more fouls than he has scored goals with America, or gotten more yellows. Actually, it's ridiculous. Suniga, I think it's a very unfortunate position that he's been put in, right? He was brought in to kind of spark competition, be the number two. He's had to, at times, be the number one, then be the number two. Right. And he's just been thrown in kind of to the wolves at times in dire situations. I do think that there is a potential for him to have a future with América. I just think we need to get rid of Buffalo Aguirre, and we just need to give all the minutes to Suniga to eventually kind of lead up and get some confidence. Again, he's on the wrong side of 30, so I don't think he's the long-term solution for América. And even if we bring Raúl Jiménez, I know he's definitely on the opposite side of 30, and he's not going to be the super long-term option. But there, obviously, that seems to be the move after the World Cup, right? I think we're going to see Raúl Jiménez come back. Hopefully, he still has about 2 years to give us the best that he can provide. And in those times, I think we're going to see a Henry that has to transition into being kind of that third striker and eventually kind of weed out or fade out from the club. And, it'll be interesting to see what his decision is. Is he going to look for a team elsewhere, or if he's going to ultimately retire? But it is unfortunate that, he's gotten this whole changing the new number curse, right?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I mean, I was looking back for that message I was telling you about, and that's whenever the team had put up that he had a left knee sprain. That was 2 days ago. I mean, it's the foot, now it's the knee for Henry. I mean, it's just like, man, like, this dude needs to just like be in ice or something like that, and just like, I mean, not even worry about the apuntura anymore at this point. I mean, Something's got to give. I mean, again, I will stick with, Henry, move on from Henry. But if the club believes in him, I mean, you got to shut him down at this point. And we just got to lick our paws and, just kind of keep going with what we got. I mean, because at this point, I mean, like you said, I like the idea of getting the Zuniga those minutes, and just him being like the main guy. I really want to see more from him, obviously. And, especially with Aguirre not turning out the way we thought he would. And then, I mean, who knows? I mean, do you kind of give Davila that third striker spot, and just let him kind of go from there too?
Yeah, Davila doesn't even come into people's minds as to, like, where he can play. Yeah, it's unfortunate for him. Yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. It's not to say that we don't have options, right? We do. I just think that we need to have a better solution come the January transfer window for this whole striker situation. Look, I don't expect us to go out and buy a big name. I think the objective is clear. The path to what looks like is going to be, we're going to hold out. Raul's going to come out during next summer's transfer window after the World Cup. And, he'll be our main striker. And I'm sure he's going to do well, especially with Alan St. Maximum, hopefully at a much, much better rhythm. One can only hope that he has the same effect that, Adam Traore had with Raúl Jiménez at Wolves. But we'll see. Yeah, but it's unfortunate that Henry Martin is in the situation. And, obviously you want to give him the benefit of the doubt just because of, his story, what he's done so much for the club, how he's kind of battled his way to be in the position that he is. And he's so close to kind of etching himself in, like, the top three goal scorers in Club America history. Like, I feel like you have to give him that benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. So yeah. I wonder too. I mean, we talk about, this ninth spot too. And I've said it too, and I think you kind of have said it too. I wonder if this team dips into the cantera at this point, like Pato Salas or somebody,
Yeah. I'd love to see Pato Salas. I think he offers a lot. He's not a like for Henry, obviously, but I do think Pato Salas opens up a world of possibilities going forward that I think would look very interesting.
I mean, because it was just this past Clausura, wasn't it, that we had to start the first 2 weeks with like the U23? Yeah, and Salas, stood out a whole lot, So
one of the players that we looked at and said he definitely needs to be featured more in America, and that's what I've liked about him so far, is that the minutes he has gotten, he's looked good. He's taking his chances. Not necessarily by scoring goals, but I think he's, provided some very good movement, some very good passes, and we'll see. Hopefully, Jordan Day gives him a little bit more of a runway, and obviously, too, we need to fill these freaking youngster rules. We're almost there. Thank God for Dagoberto Espinosa, but we need to sum it up, Obviously, we're at the halfway point of the season, almost, but Yeah, we need to get all of that sorted out. But all right, let's talk America versus Monterrey. We've talked about a lot of games about being kind of the true test for America. This one, I think, might just be the ultimate one for us. Obviously, on the road against the first place team of the league right now. And it's against Anthony Martial's Monterrey. Did you ever think we're going to have that statement in the podcast?
I totally forgot about that even freaking happened.
Yeah. It's going to be the Clásico of the Frenchmen.
Oh, yeah. They're not on the same side, are they? No.
No.
Oh, they're not.
No, so Maxi on us, and then of course Anthony Martial for them.
No, yeah, but Maxi's left, obviously, but Martial.
No, Martial's most likely gonna be a striker.
Okay.
Which is what he wants to be, but he doesn't play the best as a number nine. I mean, obviously, you and me both know, being a United fans, he sparked, and that's all he really did. He was just spark. So we'll see what Anthony Martial we get. I'm sure he'll feature against us. But look, this is Monterrey side that has been doing things well in the league, right? They probably didn't have the best Leagues Cup, but they're showcasing that, you know, they are a title contender. And so this is kind of a six-pointer. It's an opportunity to kind of knock them off first place. It's an opportunity to get yourself closer. Obviously, if you knock them off first place, and you have to pray and hope that Cruz Azul lose, and then you ultimately can jump them. But again, this is going to be a tough matchup. Obviously, Monterrey, I would say that in recent years, Monterrey hasn't been the best location for us. But I can't help but remember the fact that we crowned ourselves three campeones in that stadium. So I guess maybe there's still some good memories left to be played in that stadium. Obviously, we understand this is going to be a tough rival. And this is an opportunity for a lot of these players and for Johnny himself to kind of make up and vindicate themselves from the Clásico. Put that to bed and get back on track to everything that you worked so hard in August to kind of set up.
Yeah, no, 100% too. And like you kind of mentioned going back, Ivan, it's a table implication. Really at stake here. I mean, I'm just looking at it too. I didn't realize how close it was. So we're still in third. So if we go into Monterrey and win, we could potentially stay at third or move to second, depending on what happens with Cruz Azul, because Monterrey is at 21, Cruz Azul is at 20. And America at 17. But like, again, I think I said it too in the last part of, against when we played Pachuca. But, you know, obviously implications are in place, you know, when it comes to where the table is too. And like you said, we're at that halfway point. I think if I remember the schedule correctly, you know, it's going to get a little tougher down the road too. So it's crucial that we get 3 points here on the road.
Yeah, no, and that's great math. I didn't have seen, yeah, if we win, obviously we can't top them. But still, you know, they need to drop points, right? And if you can be one of those teams, you have yourself a very good advantage, especially since you're seeing them this kind of, I guess it's not so early on in the season, but at this point of the season, rather than kind of chasing behind them at the stretch end and being like, okay, hopefully they drop points. And you have an opportunity here to put yourself in a very good position. Obviously, we'll see what happens to Cruz Azul as well, but we can only focus on ourselves and what we have in front of us. Look, I think in order to win this match, we're going to have to come in with the idea that there is no such thing as an easy game and that you're going to have to expect Monterrey to give it their all, right? They're going to have to be, we're going to have to be very organized. We're going to have to be very precise and we're going to have to take our chances as limited as they might be because, you know, with no Fidalgo on the pitch, how do you then start, you know, building up and getting yourself into that final third position? I think we need to see a very, very sharp America, both defensively and offensively. If I was to be Jardine in this situation, I would go with a back four. I know that sounds a little bit ludicrous because we said the importance of having, you know, three at the back whenever you play against these tougher opponents. But I do think you need to just kind of balance yourself here. You go with four at the back, and obviously you go 4-2-3-1. What does that midfield triangle look like? Obviously, Chiquito Sanchez is going to be super important. And then I think you put Alan Cervantes there, not because he's going to give you the best option, you know, passing and building up play, but he's just a disruptor. And you need that disruption in the midfield when you're going up against a very good Monterrey midfield. And I think he does a good job at doing that, right? At the number 10 spot, this is the tricky and interesting thing. I know we put Sendejas there in the second half against Chivas. I don't think he did a good job. Has he had a good run of spells in the number 10 position before? Yes, but I would argue, why not put Alan Saint-Maximin there, right? He played phenomenal in the midfield whenever he found himself in those positions in the Clásico. I get it. He didn't have the most best start to his campaign with América in the Clásico, but I do think we will see a much better side in this matchup if we do play him at that number 10 role. You play Brian left, right, where he wants to be naturally. Sendejas on the right, where he's done phenomenal for years for América. And up top, you go with Zúñiga.
Yeah.
I would think that would be our best. And then, of course, in defense, Dagoberto on the right, Borja on the left. And in the center, I would go Cáceres and Ramón Juárez, although I can make the argument that Ramón and Igor Nichnowski can also play there.
Wait, so you said Reyes? No, you said Cervantes. Cervantes sitting in front of the back line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's more of a disruptor. I would have played Israel Reyes, but I don't know. Sometimes he worries me a little bit on the ball. So, but that's my predicting start 11. Will we see that? God knows, Dylan. But I don't know. What do you think America needs to do in order to walk away with 3 points here?
Yeah, I mean, like you kind of said, you know, this is going to be a good test, you know, of your mental focus and where you are in terms of, you know, your vision on the pitch. I mean, we thought Tigres was going to be, you know, tough, and look, we went and smacked them 3-1. I mean, so no telling how this is going to go too. And pretty much what you said, that lineup of Ivan is pretty dang close to what it was against Tigres. So whenever I was kind of listening to you, I was like, man, this sounds familiar. And so, you know, I don't know. I feel like, you know, this is the part where you have to turn the corner. You're halfway. You know, this is going to be the ninth game. This is the ninth jornada. I mean, I think this is going to really tell who this side really is. As you can see, the cat walking in front of the camera. Sorry.
That's fine. And he wants to give his opinion as well on this very important matchup against Monterrey. Look, the important thing here is walking away with 3 points, right? And as much as we want a very pretty, very amazing, fluid game from America, if we don't get that, obviously we will have some critiques. But at the end of the day, it's 3 points that we desperately need to get back on the board. And it's momentum that we desperately need to start building back up again. How that comes in a very important matchup, I don't think any of us have any reason to complain at this point, right? You mentioned something very important. It's the halfway point after this matchup. You need to start building traction. You need to start building momentum. And I mean, what better way to do it than against, you know, the number one team right now in the league, quote unquote, by league stat. Look, it'll be interesting. It'll be fun to see how this America side responds. At the end of the day, if we walk away with 3 points, then that's ultimately what we want. And that's what we need. You know, Monterrey will do their part. I'm sure that they're not going to, you know, do the low block situation. They're at home, which helps out America a lot, actually. You know, when teams open up and try to attack us, I we need to be obviously very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very comfortable and very strict with how we manage ball possession. We can't be giving away cheap, you know, passes in the midfield and open ourselves up to a counterattack. Look, if we neutralize Canales, I think we'll put ourselves in a very good position. Again, that's why I think it's important to have Alan Cervantes there, kind of tracking him, disrupting play. And if you don't have a Fidalgo, you know, your key players are going to be Chiquito Sanchez, Alejandro Sendejas, and Saint Maximum if he does end up playing in that number 10 role. Let's see what happens, Dylan. But it should be an interesting Saturday night game. A late one as that, too. It's at 8 p.m. Pacific, 10 Central, 11 o'clock Eastern. How do you guys do it so late?
Well, I already have a 10 o'clock show on Saturday, so I'm already up anchoring, so
it's easy for me. Helps. I don't know how AJ does it. 11 o'clock at night, and he's just, you know, prime time ripping out gifts, goals, and reactions.
AJ's playing Xbox or PC, whatever he plays. I forgot which one
he's playing. He's playing the PC, yeah?
Yeah, PC. Yeah, you know he's playing the PC, too, on top of all that stuff. So.
Absolutely. Well, I guess that really does help. I don't think Monterrey's been having weather issues, and I don't think this game would potentially get delayed, so it looks like we should be fine. Game's going to be obviously on TUDN. For those of you who want to stream it on the go, you can catch it on VIX. And I don't know, but I do think this game might be also streamed on Paramount Plus. Don't quote me, though. I didn't check. I didn't verify myself. You know. Yeah. I watched one game, which was the Atlas game. They did a very good job. I just haven't been able to catch another game. If they do stream this one on Paramount Plus, I'll catch it there.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to say something dumb, but I don't know why, Ivan. And I'm just going to go on a limb because I just think this, because like after what we saw against Chivas with what Hardinay put out there, I don't know why, but I just feel like it's just going to be that back three or five again. And instead of a Cervantes, I feel like we're going to see a Jonathan Dos Santos out there instead.
That would worry me a lot, actually, if we do get a Jonathan Dos Santos. That would worry me a lot just because of the legs gone. That is just prime open up midfield.
I don't know. It's just like I said, like, it's just like, I feel like after that 4-game win streak, like, you know, we kind of knew right down the hatch, you know, what we're going to get. But then you open up against Chivas after the national break, and then I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I feel like Jardinez is going to be a little worried again. I don't know why. I mean, like you said, we've had some good luck. You know, we won the 3 Campeonato there in Monterrey. So I don't know what he needs to be scared of. He's done it there once. He can do it again. So.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously you don't have a Richard Sanchez, right? Which sucks. I think a Richard Sanchez in a Clásico Nacional would have been perfect, especially in this game as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, no, I agree. I wouldn't be shocked if we do see that back three, if we do see back five, whatever. I just would be very worried if there's a Jonathan Dos Santos in that starting 11. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We're due for a curveball, man. We're due for a curveball.
God. Well, may he have this best freaking game in Monterrey, if that's the case. Well, what's your prediction? We about to wrap up and I haven't even gone through predictions. What's your prediction?
It's going to be sloppy. Predict one red card. I don't know which team. We'll see one red card. But I think we scrape by with the 2-2 draw. We get a maxi goal and a maxi assist.
Love it. Love it. Love it even more, though, if we would have walked away with a 2-1 victory. I am going to go on that air of caution side. I'm going to be just a little bit more cautiously optimistic than you. And I'm going to go with a 2-1 victory for America. It's going to be not the prettiest of results, though I would love it if it is. But yeah, I think 2-1. I think we get a very scrappy late goal, like not super late. I'm not talking like Fergie time, like 98th minute of the match.
That's when we judge Jonathan Dos Santos in there.
Yeah, that's you stick him up top too, because you don't want him to mess anything up in the midfield. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. Obviously, you know, we have faith in this team, and obviously you look at the roster and we're a very talented team, even with the loss against Chivas. It's just, you know, you just need a bounce back, and this is the opportunity. I think you need to take it and just run with it.
I know I predicted a draw, but if we do go ahead and win, like you say, Ivan, I will write off this Chivas game as.
Love it. Love it. So will I, and I think so will everyone else. Alrighty, Dylan. Well, that's pretty much it, unless you have something else.
No, I think we covered it all. Another good talk, and you know, I'm just ready for Saturday.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see what what life has in store for us, and hopefully, a much better showcasing for our Águilas del América. With that said, thank you much. Thank you, Dylan, for taking the time out to talk to me and for everyone else listening.
Yeah, no problem, and I hope people who are watching enjoyed the cats in the back, the one that walked right in front of the. Oh.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure we'll get some comments, and I'm sure, hey, you never know, someone might just say, you know, put on the cats 24/7.
Yeah, there we go. Cat TV.
Cat TV. There you go. All righty then. Well, thank you to all of you guys who stayed around, watched, and listened. Again, if you guys haven't done so, make sure you guys go, and if you're in the Phoenix area, go and check out our tweet. Sign up for the giveaway. We'll be announcing again the winner on September 23rd. Link to all of that will be in the description. So yeah, thank you guys. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America. We'll recap what happened against Monterrey. And then, of course, I think we're going up against... Why do I never have these things on command?
I even just saw it too when looking at the...
San Luis. Stuff. There we go. Yeah. On the road against San Luis. And it's a midweek matchup. Okay, we'll see what we do with that sense. But doble jornada coming up for America after Monterrey. So... things are turning very, very quickly. And then after that, we got another Clásico. We got Pumas. So not an easy schedule for America. A lot of really difficult matches coming up. But again, this could be the turning point if America gets 3 points against Monterrey. All right. You guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.